All right. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Can we have just a bit more volume here? It's good to be with you. Hello, hello. Are we on? All right. If we could just begin making our way back to our seats. I see there are still some people standing, so they're probably waiting to see which seats open up, I would imagine. So if we could begin making our way back, that'd be great. Good to be with you. Great to see you all. Very warm welcome. If it's your first time, you're visiting us here at Shoreline, just want to say welcome. Pray the Lord would bless you and minister to you this morning through His Word. As you well know, if you've been attending Shoreline for any length of time, we like to teach the Bible verse by verse. Though the last few weeks have put us in a series entitled Resurrection due to the season that we found ourselves in. And so this morning we're returning back to our normal study, our regular study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And so we're picking up in that message in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. And so if you have your Bibles with you, open them to 1 Thessalonians this morning. If you need a Bible, I do encourage you to read along in your own Bible. I read from the New King James Version, if there's any difference. But if you do need a Bible this morning, you want to read along with us, you can just put your hand up. Somebody will bring you a Bible. Anybody? We're all good? I guess that's the convenient thing about having Bibles on our devices these days. So we can bring them anywhere we go. All right. Would you please just join with me as we go before the Lord first in prayer? God, thank you for the reminder this morning that you are always faithful. Lord, there's just... God, it seems like we could exhaust your mercies. We prove ourselves time and again, Lord, not to be so faithful. And so, Lord, we're thankful this morning that you are faithful, even when we're not. That it's not part of your nature to lie, that you don't lie, that you cannot lie. And Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. And God, as we come before you this morning, perhaps, Lord, some of us, as we enter into this time of worship, would just be reminded of that reality that your mercies are new. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. And we come to you this morning, Lord, with a sense of desperation because we need you. God, we need the power of your Holy Spirit at work in our lives. God, as we've sung that song this morning of your name, Jesus, as it is wonderful and beautiful and powerful. And God, the facts that you have broken every chain that might bind us and set us free in Christ Jesus to live a life that is set apart for you. God, I pray that those realities wouldn't be merely intellectual things or things that we say, but God, that they would be the way that we live, free from the power of sin and death through the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those who have come this morning who perhaps, Lord, they've been experiencing more defeat than victory. I pray, God, that we would all together likewise just fall upon your grace this morning, again remembering that you are faithful. And God, I pray that as we prepare our hearts now to study your word, to look at it and to understand what was written, but also, God, to apply it. Give to us hearts that are willing to receive and respond to your word this morning. We pray, God, for those who couldn't be here for whatever reason. We ask, God, that you would minister to them wherever they're at. And we come to you, Father, and we ask that you'd minister to us in a special way here as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we should recall, because it has been a few weeks since we were in 1 Thessalonians, that during Paul's ministry in Thessalonica, he faced some serious opposition. And that opposition resulted in the persecution of those that hosted him and his ministry team, as well as the early converts in Thessalonica. apparently this persecution didn't stop with the departure of the apostle. And it continued even after Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, all of those guys left. There was still this continuation of persecution against the church that had been established in that city. Now, in chapter 2, what we saw was Paul express a deep desire to visit and see those that church and those people again. He'd received reports that this persecution had continued and apparently even intensified, and so you'll remember that his time was cut off short because of the persecution, and it would seem that he was only able to minister among them for just a few weeks. Now, when we looked at chapter 2, verses 13 through 20, we took note of two reasons that Paul rejoiced when he thought of the believers in Thessalonica. He had moved on, but his heart was still with them. And a couple of those reasons, we saw that he rejoiced in the way that they welcomed the Word of God when he came to them. But he also rejoiced as well in the work of God's Word among them. He knew that he could just sit back and remember what God had done, and that brought joy to his heart. Now, as we return to this text this morning, thematically, chapter 3 really is a continuation of this thought of Paul rejoicing in the midst of their affliction. And really, this morning, we're going to see in chapter 3, Paul assuring the church of his affection in order to encourage them amid their current afflictions. And so, affection in affliction is the title, and that's what we're going to be looking at and considering together this morning. So, if you would please read with me in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and we'll go back through this together this morning. So, verse 1 says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." And so as we just examine these verses in the entire chapter this morning, what I really want to see are three ways that we can just see how Paul cared for this church. See three ways in which his affection for them is demonstrated. And one of those ways is, number one, Paul was concerned for them. So a couple of times he says, "I could no longer endure it. I just needed to hear how you're doing." His mind was just wrapped up and a little bit consumed by how this church was doing because they left under such difficult circumstances. And a couple of those concerns I want to highlight this morning. The first is that in verse 3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. Paul was concerned that they had been shaken by the affliction that they were now going through. The word used for shaken, the Greek word, is used often to speak of a dog wagging its tail. And the word for affliction means pressure. And so what he's saying is, "I'm concerned that your faith is being moved by this external pressure that you're now experiencing. Like a dog wagging its tail, you're just being moved by these things." Now today, when we think of those who are suffering persecution, and let me remind you in case you've forgotten, there are Christians all over the world, even now, who are suffering persecution, who to them, following Christ is perhaps a death sentence or a prison sentence. But often in those times, and I love it on Wednesday night, the Lord just led us in prayer to pray for those who are persecuted in different nations around the world. It was a beautiful time. And often He'll do that. But often our deepest concern when we hear of these stories, When we hear of the pain and the suffering, sometimes our minds even fail to comprehend what those people must be going through. But often our deepest concern is for their physical or emotional suffering and distress. Now, it's not wrong to have these concerns. When you see or hear about somebody that's suffering so intensely for what their faith in Jesus, it's not wrong to be concerned about their suffering emotionally or their physical distress. But I think we learn a valuable lesson from the Apostle Paul here, because his major concern, his greatest concern, was for how these afflictions might impact their faith. The pain and the suffering related to physical or emotional, that's one thing. But Paul says, I'm just concerned that those things are going to impact your faith in Jesus. And because this was Paul's primary concern, he put tremendous effort into assuring that they were well established in faith, to the extent that he explains that affliction and tribulation were in fact to be expected for those who follow Jesus. This is a far different message than what is presented by some preachers today. It's far more common in our time, I would say, to hear messages that promise blessings, blessings which are often associated with material things and temporary or emotional problems. Sometimes you'll hear a message that sounds similar to this: come to Jesus and he'll fix your life. Come to Jesus and you'll get healing, or you'll get rich, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, there are true blessings when you follow Jesus. And sometimes these blessings may be presented to us in these ways. But I just want to tell you that this was not the reality for the first century believer. When Paul went to preach the gospel, he couldn't say, come to Jesus and everything's going to be fixed in your life. You'll get wealthy and healthy. The reality for the first century believer was, come to Jesus, probably you'll be persecuted. You might lose everything. You also might die. A very different message from perhaps what many people are hearing today. Jesus was not a quick way to health, wealth, and a wonderful life. Instead, faith in Jesus meant the promise of present persecution with the hope of future resurrection. The whole idea of Paul's gospel was, you're going to suffer now, but there's so much more to look forward to in the life that is to come. And there are likely some of us who have become so accustomed to this teaching, which really only works in the Western sort of environment where Christianity is somewhat favorable. We've become so accustomed to this teaching that we actually have begun to believe that being a Christian means that our lives should be absent of pain and suffering. And that if we do go through pain or suffering, or perhaps, you know, we're not healthy and wealthy and we don't have all of these things going on, then we tend to doubt and lose faith. This thinking has become a major component to our faith. And one issue with this thinking is that when such a person then begins to suffer tribulation, affliction, or persecution, their faith is rocked. Why am I going through this? What's wrong, God? What's wrong with you? What about my salvation? What about all of these promises of a future and a hope? Like, what in the world? And I've seen this happen. People's faith is rocked by those things. Even those with a proper understanding of suffering can be moved in times of affliction. And this was Paul's concern for the church in Thessalonica. It remains a great concern for anyone who may be suffering. Even someone with a proper grasp and understanding of suffering and understanding that God can bring them through, it's still not easy, is it? Suffering and affliction are difficult, and this still remains a concern. And I suppose a question could be, if you are suffering affliction, are there pressures in your life right now that you find difficult to navigate? And there's just these pressures and this affliction. Well, first of all, I want you to understand that as the followers of Jesus, we're appointed to suffering for him. And don't allow these pressures that you're going through, and everybody's going to be going through different things this morning. external pressures, internal things. Don't allow those things to shake your faith. If you're going through those things, press into Jesus and continue to pursue Him with all that you are. And you know, my heart goes out to you. I know some of you are going through difficult things. My heart goes out to you, but I want you to know that my deepest concern, and I think it's good for our deepest concern for ourselves and others, is to ensure that your faith remains steadfast in the Lord. Because that's the only thing that really we have to hope in. He is our firm foundation, as we've sung already this morning. Another concern that the Apostle Paul expresses here in verse 5, I believe, is that they had been tempted by the tempter. Notice here, for this reason, again, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means, in some way, the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. And so Paul is just, he's sitting there in Athens and he's thinking, man, I just can't stand this. I need to know how they're doing. And unfortunately, Paul couldn't just like look them up on social media or give them a ring to see how they were doing. They had it a little bit harder back then, and they had to actually send somebody to Thessalonica in order to check in on them. But he wanted to encourage their faith. And in sending Timothy, Paul's desire